Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Leisha Holmes, and this is the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And this next guest, you will not be disappointed. I've waited a long time to do this episode with Andy Dunn, who is the MD of Team. So what is Team? It is a business network for independent recruiters, and it's actually the largest one in the United Kingdom. So today we talk about the benefits of networking and why you, wherever you're based, you could develop your own version of this networking, what the different benefits are, what ethical recruitment really looks like, how we can be ensuring best practice, and most importantly, what are the top employers that he's partnering doing to attract and retain the best talent. We have a really great conversation too around mental health and well-being and why this is still a really important topic that each one of us should be exploring and prioritizing to ensure our future health. So without further ado, let's jump in. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard to find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link, pager.co, to book your demo. And remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am so excited to welcome to our global community today somebody who I've got enormous respect for, and I'm hoping you'll get to know on a very deep level. We've just had a really profound conversation before I started pressing record. So I think we're in for a real treat today. I think there'll be lots of twists and turns, which always should be like that on a podcast, don't you think? So without further ado, I'd like to welcome today Andy Dunn, who is the MD of Team. Welcome to you today. How are you?
I'm very good, Leisha. Thank you so much for inviting me on board.
You're welcome. And for those watching over on YouTube, he's in a wonderful padded cell somewhere in Guildford, I believe. So if anybody knows the code for him to get out, please send your answers on a postcard. No, joking aside, Andy, for those who are not yet familiar with you and what you do and what Team is, please, can you give us an overview as to what you do?
Sure. So tomorrow is my 1 year anniversary, actually, my job as MD of Team. Thank you very much. I've got a nice profound LinkedIn post that I need to write this afternoon post tomorrow. But so I'm a recruiter. Been working in the recruitment marketplace for 20 years. 15 of those years, I worked in the defence sector. I used to recruit engineers and scientists that made tanks and helicopters and weapon systems and robots and you name it, in defense and national security. I'm still security cleared. I went the
Wow.
job I did before I took this role at Team is I went in-house into a global defense contractor and recruited 130 systems engineers in 12 months, which was
Wow.
great fun.
That it was.
But yeah, so I'm a recruiter. Started in High Street recruitment, started at Blue Arrow, like lots of us. Worked for very small, independent family-run businesses. Worked for a big engineering and tech recruitment agency for 7 years, where I built a team, and then I worked for myself for 7 years, which actually brought me into Team. I joined the Team network, and for those of you who haven't heard of Team, we're the UK's largest network of independently owned recruitment agencies. So I joined Team literally the week that I started my recruitment business, and it had
Wow.
such a profound impact on my life
Did
and my
it?
business. I ended up joining them. So,
And you're now the MD, which is amazing. So just
and now
explain the
I'm the
concept
MD.
to me. So Team is a network of independently owned recruitment agencies. What's their kind of and I don't want to say rules, but what are the prerequisites of people wanting to be part of it? What do they have to adhere to when it comes to housekeeping?
You have to have come from the recruitment marketplace. So you can't be a teacher or a nurse and decide to start a teaching recruitment agency or a nursing recruitment agency. You have to have an understanding of the marketplace. But we're a really inclusive environment. So as long as you've got a business that works in the recruitment space, and you're an ethical recruiter, because a lot of the stuff that we do is all about collaboration and networking and trust. Then you can come and join us. But we're the largest we've ever been today. We've got nearly 520 businesses in
Wow,
our network.
amazing.
And what we do is we provide a platform for recruitment business owners to collaborate and network with each other. So we run about 50 face-to-face meetings every year, where that could be anything from 10 people, a small meeting, which are sometimes the best ones where you
Yeah,
get
I bet you get a lot out of that, don't you?
a lot, yeah. And up to the ones that we have in London, where capacity, the end of last year, we had 77 businesses in Daffery's boardroom, which was fun because our limit was 50. But we had some great speakers. Joe Phillips was
Recruiters
there that
breaking the
day.
rules. Can't believe that.
Recruiters breaking the rules. But yeah, so we run these face-to-face events, and they're kind of sector agnostic. Any type of recruiter or member can go to them. And then we run divisional networking online meetings where, again, it's specific to driving IT, tech, accountancy, international, and they meet up there. But we've also got a job sharing portal. So small businesses that pick up roles that they wouldn't fill normally
Right. Yeah.
can split them. And it generates about £6 million worth of fees that typically of roles that wouldn't get
Goodness me, that
filled
would just get lost.
just get
It's a
lost.
fantastic brainchild, isn't it? I just want to pick up on one thing before we'll come back and return that. You said something, a word that really matters to me, which is about ethical. So how do you assess? I could say to you, I'm ethical. How do you know? How do you, what's the barrier to that? How do you establish
Everybody
whether?
has a chance at Team when they come in. So the onboarding process from a new member perspective is we have regional directors. So we have one member that's established, been in Team a long time, understands what it's like to network and collaborate. We get them to vet each member that joins their region. And if they're not happy, they come back to us, and we've got a professional standards committee of other members that then we can call upon when we need to. But we've got a constitution. So it's a set of
Love it.
rules. When you join, you agree to the constitution. And if you don't abide by those rules, we thank you very much and we
We
ask
ask
you
you to
to
leave.
leave, which is really rare. It's really rare. I've seen it a couple of times in my 1 year where members have not played by the rules when it comes to sharing of information or jobs that have been put on onto the exchange portal. But it's really, really rare. And we nip it in the bud like that straight away,
That's very
no mucking
encouraging
around.
to hear that it's a rare occurrence, because I'm here to quash, the notion of the Wolf of Wall Street perception. I want every recruiter to elevate themselves and to externally and internally be perceived as, as a business partner. I see that the recruitment role has evolved and we're so much more than, that awful stereotypical character. So it's, I love speaking to people like you who are doing exactly that. That's what you're there, your business network is there to do. So it's good to hear that actually, when it comes down to it, from a mathematical probability point of view, you know, a couple of scenarios in 1 year is actually pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, it's really low. It's really low.
Really low.
People join us because they want to be around like-minded people. I was in the same situation as a recruitment business owner starting up. Let's be honest, we haven't got a clue what we're doing at the start. So being able to go into a room with, my region that I used to go to at the start probably had 20, 25 members that used to go to the meetings. Just to be in that room and have that opportunity to ask questions and how would you do this? Or I'm doing this at the moment. What would you do in this scenario? Like having that opportunity is really, really powerful. And people that have been in team for a long time love giving the advice. Like, I've come across that scenario before. And it's really beneficial. And that's really why people join us. Yeah, they wanna have a part of that that networking opportunity, that opportunity to meet other people that are walking the same path, good people that, you know, there's enough business out there. I know it's tough at the moment, but there is enough business out there for us all to succeed, and working together, we can achieve so much more. Even just sharing information with each other,
absolutely,
we can achieve so much more than being on our own. And that's really what we're all about.
It sounds like it's, you know, from my perspective, I always think that, you know, we're the greater sum of one part. And I think that collaborating with people, even your perceived competitors, you're just doing a better job for everybody then, who ultimately your customer is getting the best possible information. So that's right. So in terms of the rules or the constitution that you have, there's a lot that we can all learn from that. So for people listening in now who are in our global community, what can they do to maybe, I'm not saying embellish or steal your ideas of what you do there, but what can we do to try and network within our own microcosms, if you like, to get the best out of what you've achieved as a business?
I think it's to get to know who your competitors are in your local area and have conversations with them. You know, I did a talk at the Rec Expo in London about how recruitment networking can be a superpower. I struggled big time because it's the first time I ever did anything like that. So I was really nervous. In fact, I was practicing for 3 months.
Oh, and then when I got there,
the
tech was awful. I mean, everybody I saw that, I think I was there not the day you did it, actually, because I wanted to see you. But the tech was awful the whole time, I think. It was.
But I said in one of the slides, I used Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet as an analogy for different, the stones representing different types of networking. But I said space was one of them. And I said, get out into different spaces where your clients live, where your competitors live, and talk to people about what's happening in your market. And you never know, like just recruitment, going back 20 years when I started, you would never even think about, you know, talking to a competitor about the marketplace or candidates or challenges with clients or how you do business. It's a different world now. So get out to spaces where recruiters will hang out, you know, even if it's not specific recruitment networking organizations like Team, you know, there's loads of them out there. Go to other, like, Institute of Directors or BNI or breakfast meetings or Chamber of Commerce. You know, there's one called the Athena Network, which is all women in networking. There's loads of networks out there that you can drop into, and globally as well. It's obviously not just exclusive to the UK. We've got a good friend, partner, another network called NPA Worldwide, which is an international community focused on job sharing. We've got a lot of members in NPA that are in Team as well. Like, seek them out, find out if they'll be right for you, and go out there and kind of test the water, you know, all of them.
And it's there for everybody. Like, not nobody's a silo and everybody's able to work as part of a community. And if you stop seeing your competition as that, they actually become part of your trusted community. I think it's really important. There's certainly within the RectorX space, which, you know, when I first started in RectorX 20 odd years ago, there was like three of us. You could literally count us on one hand, and now there's probably that many setting up every week. And, you know, we speak to one another. It's a sanity check. It's sharing information. You're not passing on anything that's classified or, you know, confidential that's inappropriate. You're just sharing market knowledge and making sure everybody's doing okay. You know, I think it's a different mindset totally. But you do still get people who might be sat there thinking now, listening to this, going, don't need to. You know, I work for a company. Why would I need to go network? Or a business leader going, there's absolutely no way I'm going to go and join a network when Joe Bloggs down the road's grown bigger than me and we've had a really shit 2 years. What would you say to them?
It's not for everyone. If they feel like that, then it's probably right that they feel like that. And it's, you know, it's not, I do say this to all new members that I speak to, you know, joining a network, you've got to put effort into it. Yes, I know you're a big gym freak as well, because we follow each other on Instagram, obviously. But it's like joining team is like, it's like joining a gym. You know, if you have a goal in mind, say you want to have a six pack, or you want to be able to do 150 kilo deadlift or 10 chin-ups with no resistance bands or anything like that, you can't just walk into a gym and do it. You've got to build up to that. Yeah. And that's the same, isn't it? Like, if you want to become really great at working with other recruitment businesses, to partner up, to fill work, to win bigger clients, to go up against the big boys, it's not going to happen overnight. You need to go out there and meet people that could, that have the same vision and goals as you, and you have to work at it over time. And that's what networks like Team do. You know, they give you the opportunity to meet people that have got that mindset. So if someone says, oh, I don't want to join, you know, Joe Bloggs, as you just said, down the road, he's built his business bigger than me, or she's built her business bigger, that's fine. Like, but you'll never get to what that person's like if you have a really closed mindset.
I was just about to say, it was a bit, sometimes I'm a little bit facetious on these questions because I don't intend to be, but that's the play, that I think it's about growth mindset. And most people that take the time to listen to podcasts have got a growth mindset. They're not going to be fixed on things. So I'm really pleased that I've asked that, because I think, you know, we are so much stronger when we're together and we're united. And I love the fact that the basis of team is all around values, and it's all around the ethics of it. Because I think that's so important, that, you know, the cascade effect that each of your members will have in their communities will be, you know, monumental. You know, you're not just impacting one. It must be a great customer experience for the client, knowing that they're getting the team experience. Before we started recording, you were talking to me around the emphasis on mental health and well-being, and it's something that I'm particularly passionate about. I'm a huge advocate. I'm mental health first aid trained. To me, it should be mandatory for every recruiter, and definitely for every recruitment leader, to do that course, because it's a life-changing course. I wish I'd done it when I was younger. What do you think the landscape is right now, and why do you think it's so important that we're still talking about it?
The landscape right now is that there are lots and lots of recruitment business owners and recruiters really, really struggling. Like, this year has been really tough. I think a lot of people had, almost everyone I've spoken to had record numbers in 2022, and we're expecting that to continue last year. And it's really tough, you know. And I've seen a lot of businesses, not just businesses that are in team, businesses outside of team, that have gone pop in the last 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I think the thing about mental health, I think it's great that people are now starting to talk about mental health in recruitment, but we're not talking about it enough. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do. You know, when I took this job last year, I really struggled on a personal level with my mental health. And one of the reasons why I shut my business back in 2021 was that I just didn't want to be on my own anymore.
No.
You know, and I just think there's anywhere where you can get some support, some guidance, ideas, people to talk to, people you can, you know, that check in on you and you check in on them, is a great thing. You know, we've started something, I'll be honest with you, we don't really know what we're doing with it, but all we're really doing is starting conversation. Like, that's all it is. We're starting conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're talking about it. So you're starting to sort of create avenues where people can have safe conversations, where they're not going to feel that they are exposing a vulnerability or a weakness, when actually they're going to talk to somebody else that goes, oh my god, I'm feeling exactly the same as you. I mean, I know we were talking about this, you know, very personally off camera, but I do think we're at the precipice of a potential real pandemic in mental health, particularly within recruitment, if we're going to keep it in a recruitment context. Because the way I see it is that we had, you know, a very bizarre year, really, of 2020, because nobody really knew what was going on. Everything was out of our control. And we then had this climax from 2021 to 2022, which, like you say, was, you know, people were having record years, you know, investing in people, hiring, over hiring, really, investing in tech, you know, subscriptions and memberships to this and that, big new shiny offices, whatever else. And then, of course, the crash came. And then, of course, the recession came. And it's almost like when everything started to crash, I was bracing myself. Because, you know, I've been in recruitment as a viewer a long time. And we know it goes in cycles. But I actually think the last 18 months to 2 years have actually been harder than the COVID experience from a mental health point of view. Because we're working at that fast pace again. We've got the cost of living crisis out of our control. We've got wars going on out of our control. We're still potentially, people are still paying off BBLs and, you know, the repercussions of overhiring and not really knowing what's actually going to happen. You know, we're technically coming out of a recession, but are we? Are we going to hit a W? So there's so many pressures.
I think the key thing is that the general election's been called. I think that is a big thing for this year. Sorry to interrupt you, but I totally agree. There is a huge time bomb. And we spoke briefly about Katie Maycock. I invited Katie on to do a session with our team membership about stress. Like, some of the statistics that she gave me about how the working population at the moment, like the percentage of them that are burning out. It's like 86% or something. It's crazy. And if you put that into the recruitment context as well, like, we all know how stressful our jobs are when it's good.
I know. And the thing is, we're in this industry, right, because we love the pace of it. We love the cut and thrust of it. We probably love the good stress bit, you know, the hype and the excitement and the human psychology and, you know, the buzz. There's a buzz not knowing if someone's going to take the job. You know, you've done everything you can, but are they going to take it? Are they going to get counteroffered? Oh, it's really exciting. That's not really what tends to burn people out. It's all the other bits. It's the, you know, it's the crisis of the fact that most companies are not making the profits that they were making because all their costs have gone higher. Salary bubble burst and, you know, they're stuck paying rents and they're stuck paying this. And I just think, and you didn't interject, by the time this goes live, we might have had the election. We're recording this now in May 2024, so it might be around the time, but I mean, I have to say, I breathe a sigh of relief that it was brought forward, because I think it was this not knowing if it's going to be kicked down the can later on in the year. But I think that it's so important that organisations like yours are talking about it and are doing something about it, because it's time for us to say, right, just pause, because if we don't do something now to protect our well-being as business owners, you know, for all the love in the world, all the business plans in the world, all the collaboration in the world, if we're not mentally well, it's pointless, because health is everything.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to start little conversations around loads of different topics. I mean, we had Julia Doherty, who used to own Green Umbrella. Oh. A lot of people know her in the recruitment market. I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, but she is a huge advocate of a charity called Shout UK. Who helped her on a personal level, and so much so that we then selected Shout as the charity that we wanted to support the team. So they're a charity that it's all text-based. Obviously, a lot of the generations that work in recruitment now, you know, they don't pick up their phones when you try and ring them. They're back texting. So Shout is a charity that you can text. And then that you text a trained counsellor at the other end of that text message, and they can intervene if needed, right? So we're raising funds for them. We're doing a net walking event before our conference. We've got 30 or 35 of our members and our suppliers doing a 6-mile hike around an alpaca trail right next to our conference in Warwick. Amazing. Warwick Castle and back. And we're raising money for that. We've Angela Cripps from the recruiting gym organized the charity raffle at our conference. She's managed to get, I think, something like 14 grand's worth of prizes. So everything we raise at our conference is all going to Shout, which is amazing.
Good.
And then Shout are also going to support team with resources. So we got a thing called the Team Hub. It's like a team members only, intranet web, you know, members space, and they're going to put some resources in there. Julia's put some resources in there. We've had the webinars that we run for mental health and wellbeing, we don't record because people are sharing personal information.
Yeah, of course.
And you have to be there. You have to be there in the moment to discuss it. But we got ideas about journaling, which we talked about office space, about exercise, about alcohol dependency coming up. So we've got loads of things that we're going to be continuing. And we don't want to be one of these organizations that just drop a whole load of mental health stuff in Mental Health Week and then don't do anything again.
Don't do anything about it. I was going to say, without a shadow of a doubt. We talked about journaling off camera, but I want us to talk about it now on camera if we can before we finish. So talk to me about your journaling experience. What got you into it?
I was, so in the pandemic times, I just could not deal with the concept of time and space and what I was doing. Like, I just didn't know what was going on. So the book that I got initially was called This Book Will Make You Stronger. I can't remember the name of the author, but it's almost like a guide to getting into journaling. I think it's specifically for men, I think, but I don't think you have to be a man to write to read it. But you basically dump, it takes you through different phases of your personality, your life, your background, your aspirations. You dump all your ideas onto this book. Anyway, I got probably halfway through it. I thought, right, this is for me. Really enjoying doing this. So, and someone that I went to school with who got divorced, whole life changed, got into fitness, went vegan, got really fit, started talking about the 5-minute journal on Instagram. So I was like, right, went on Amazon, 20 quid, bought it, arrived the next day. And that changed my life, that journal. And it's such a short like space of time. 5 minutes a day was all I spent on it. I think it's like 3 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening or something like that. You know, you write down everything, that all the good things that happen in the day, all the things that you forget about, like, you know, like this weekend, I jet washed my patio for the first time in 2 years and it looks amazing. I'll forget about that in a week's time or two or a month's time, whatever. Or
when it's dirty again.
Or I made an amazing pizza, or my son was picked for the 1500 meters team at school, or my daughter. Amazing. Did one of her A-levels and she said that she nailed it, and she came outside, talked about all of the mathematics in her business studies A-level and they all got the same results. They must have got it right. But you'll forget those things unless you write them down somewhere. So I started using the 5-minute journal, and then it's a great, it's saying to you earlier before we started recording, like when I'm feeling down or I'm just lost my mojo, I pick up my old journals and I just flick through them randomly. And it kind of brings me back to that moment of joy that I had when whatever it is I'd written down in the book. And they're amazing. And just a place where you can put your ideas. It's just for you. No one else reads it.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I think it's amazing. Transformational is the word that I'd use for me. It was, you know, investment of time.
I was gonna say, and you could just literally buy a notebook from the supermarket for a couple of quid. You know, that I think it's really important to write it. What are your thoughts about writing it rather than typing it?
Yeah,
I think it should be
I tried the journal app, so Apple released a journal app with their iOS 16 update. It didn't work for me.
No.
And there's a company I'm talking to at the moment that are going to give a discount on their habit journals for team members.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
And I said to them, you know, you should get a case study, right? Get some recruitment businesses to give these journals to every new placement that you make. And allow them to kind of use the journals in their first 30 days, 60 days, 90 days in their new roles. It will help people keep placements in. Like, it will stop fallouts, definitely.
I agree. I think that's really critical, because the little petty things, you write it down and you go, that's really petty, if it is something negative rather than joyful. When I did my journaling, I had journaled for about 10 years, and it was a life change, part of a life-changing sort of time in my life when I went through my second divorce and then found sobriety and really found myself. I really genuinely found myself in that sort of about 7-year period. And I've kept the journals, and occasionally I was saying to you off camera, I do go back and I read them, and I'm such an empath, like I'm back there in that moment. But then the sort of juxtaposition to how I had very low moments then to where I am now, I just feel such joy and relief and contentment. And I just think it's, from a neuroscience point of view, I'm not a scientist at all, but it's all proven now that things like journaling and gratitude, they really do make you feel better about yourself. And I think if you're listening to this now and you are struggling with your mental health and your well-being, these are things that won't do you any harm. They are free to do. You don't need to be scientifically or, you know, healthcare wise trained in doing it. Just do it. Just literally write down what you did that day, how you felt that day, how someone made you feel. It's very useful to avoid arguments and conflict. I hate conflict. So at the time I was going through my divorce, luckily it was actually very amicable, but there were things I probably wanted to say, but I knew I couldn't say because he was going through his own sort of hell, because he was coming out as gay as a 45-year-old man. And I wrote them in the journal instead. And do you know what? They never needed saying, because I've said it, but not to him. So I think it's I think you should definitely get given that experiment. I'd be interested to see the stats on that versus, you know, dropouts versus not.
If I was to ever relaunch a recruitment business again or go back into recruitment, that is one of the first things, because, you know, candidate experience is one of the key things. It's one of the key themes, right? Yes. Always is important, but in particular now in the market that we find ourselves, that candidate experience is king.
Everything.
And I think anything that you can support that candidate through that journey, either that successful journey or non-successful ones, you know, starting a new job is so stressful, isn't it? So just someone that gives you that bit very of extra stressful support or guidance, I think it's a great idea. So yeah, that, watch this space to see whether or not that comes through.
I will send you my address. You can send me one. I'll be your guinea pig, that's for sure. Before we go, because I know that we're running out of time, you obviously have created, or you're part of a business that's, you know, this incredible microcosm of, you know, what best practice really looks like. And hopefully if the market continues to recover in 2024 and beyond, the quest for attracting and retaining the best talent is going to continue for leaders listening. So what's the one piece of advice you would give to a recruitment leader listening right now to ensure that they are going to retain and then attract the best talent that's out there?
Showcase why it's great to work at your company. And don't just do it on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, 99% of the stuff you see on LinkedIn is not real at all. Like, I've been using Instagram for 6 months, creating an Instagram account for me, a team. And the businesses that I follow loads and loads of recruitment business on there. The ones that are like showcasing the joy of their staff and why they're supporting them and doing things differently are the ones that are going to attract the best consultants to go and work for them.
I think so.
You know, personal and business branding is like one of the hot topics. I think we got 3 or 4 sessions on it at our conference next week. It's so key. Like, showcase why your business is great, like why it's different from everyone else. That's how you can attract and retain the best people. And just look,
I don't think people. the topic of branding is not going anywhere. It's been prominent for, I'd say, the last 4 or 5 years, and I can't see that changing now at all. And I agree with you. I mean, you have to take everything that you see on social media, you have to take with a pinch of salt. Is that what somebody said to me? She went, "Oh, you take such a good photo, don't you?" And I went, "You think I'm going to share a rubbish photo of myself on social media?" I mean, let's be honest, but that's the point. You know, that is the point, isn't it? That we're never going to show our bad bits, really. And as business owners, I think it's important to ensure it's you know, it is the good bits, but it's showcase, but make it be real as well. But I think it's Instagram isn't used as much as maybe people, you know, are using it right now. Maybe they're just on LinkedIn all the time.
Four members that have joined teams since Christmas have messaged me on Instagram, because I just share stuff on Instagram that I don't put on LinkedIn. It's like behind the scenes, and it's me rather than the team. Yeah. You know, I think that's an interesting take on branding, is that there's different branding projects for different social media types and for what you want to, you know, achieve, what your goals are.
Very interesting. Well, we watch this list. I mean, I am over on Instagram, but I just tend to share pictures of myself at the gym, as you well know, and the food that I've eaten. Although I do share probably more stuff on my Instagram business-wise than a lot of people do. But no, this has been, we could talk all day. Well, look, thank you so much. We're so glad to have had you on finally. And I think what you've created and what the team is, you know, it sounds like it's where people should be heading to if they want to be part of something. So we will ask them to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast should they want to know more. But thank you for joining us, Andy. We hope you found it enjoyable.
Very. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I was really a bit worried about it before, but I really enjoyed talking to you now. Thanks a lot for having me on.
No, you're very welcome. And I hope you get out of your padded cell in time for your conference next week. And happy anniversary. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know KeyBridge IT. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.